Last week, we learned a little from the Sefer B'Nefesh HaShabbat. Rav Eliezer Kashtiel of the Beit El teaches in a number of yeshivas in Israel. Has very, very beautiful ideas on each of the sedras, concise as well. So this week, we read the sedra of Shlach Lecha, the story of the Meraglim. And he notes this anomaly in the book of Eicha. The first four prakim are alphabetical, in a sense. Only the first parak is really alphabetical in with each letter, but prakim 2, 3, and 4 transpose, invert the pei and the ayin. And the Gemara says, meaning the samich is followed by the pei rather than the ayin. Three of the four psukim that are prakim that are alphabetical. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that that was done intentionally, to dramatize the error of the Meraglim, that they were makdim peh la'ayin. They spoke before they saw. And he takes this up as his issue today. The Megillah of Eicha, which really had its genesis in a sense, vayivku ha'om ba'layla ha'hu, when the people cried the night the Meraglim came back with their report. So the book of Eicha is not designed to make us cry of the Churban necessarily, but rather to identify the deep roots of the Churban. What caused the Churban, and what therefore can we do to learn from that and to try to preclude it in the future. So he says one of the fundamentals of the Churban was this very point, that the Meraglim Higdimu Pela Ayin, that they spoke first before they really saw, meaning that they engaged their mouths, they reacted impetuously, impulsively, before they actually understood what was happening. To use the ayin is really to understand, to contemplate. It's not just to see, but really to analyze and internalize what's happening. They were the opposite. They're very quick to speak and to judge and to decide the future of the nation. And so the outcome was, they were motzei diba al Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Had they thought even a little more, as becomes apparent if we look at the Mefarshim, whatever they saw, and let's assume for a second, only for a second though, that their motivations were pure, but all the complaints they had about the land, if you see what Chazal say, each of them was designed to strengthen us, to make our conquest of the land easier. But rather, they saw everything superficially. They saw fortified cities, and they saw Anakim, giants, all these things that led them to believe they could not possibly conquer the land of Israel. It's because had they thought a little more deeply, they would not have come to that conclusion. Any notes? Very nice turn of phrase. B'shvil erot ba'ayin tzirich la'ayin. For a person to see, to use the eye, we have to be ma'ayin. What's ma'ayin mean? To really use an eye, in a Torah sense, means to scrutinize, to analyze, not just see the surface, but to see beneath that as well. Any nation that is hasty in its reaction to the stimuli that's before it will eventually come to problems, pays a very heavy price, a very dear price for it. And a society, in fact, that reacts impulsively as well before it's able to clarify exactly what the issues are, exactly what it is they're seeing, that society is going to wind up harming itself as well and squandering opportunities for its own growth and development. And that really was the Dor HaMabul. They came back, they gave the report, and the report that was based on a superficial, godless analysis of the land. And what was the reaction? He says, Vayifko Ambalaila Hahu. They cried. What's crying? She said, crying is a form of Ivaron. It's a type of blindness. Because when a person cries, his tears are covering the vision. So their reaction was actually symptomatic of the problem as well. They couldn't see what was in front of them. They didn't really want to understand. So all they saw then were doubts and uncertainty and tears, and there was no way to move forward. Of course, he notes that when we return to the land of Israel, everyone is always in the situation. People are often quick to say about Israel today, this is bad, that's bad, can't take this anymore. And it's not just that, you know, some people want to say, compare the situation today to 75 years ago. And what are we talking about? Compare the situation to any time last 2,000 years. And what are we complaining about? Dude, you need to rectify any social problem. It's the reality. A man is not perfect. But nonetheless, if we just see what's superficial, then we're going to miss the point entirely. And apropos of that, he doesn't quote this, but I'm always fond of quoting Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, who said that's the pasuk, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion, that the ayin ba'ayin, a double eye will see, when God returns the people to Tzion. What's the double eye? It's not even a double eye, it's ayin ba'ayin. It's the eye within the eye. You need two eyes. You need an eye within an eye to understand events, the events that are before us, and their meaning and significance going forward. Requires much more than just the one eye. Yes?
Were the Meraglim open-minded when they left?
That's not part of this drasha. You could see Chazal have different approaches. Even Rashi does. In one context, he says, "Ba'osa shok sheirim hoyu." All right, they were sheirim. Then he said, Moshe changed Yeshua's name, Koyoshiach HaMe'atzas HaMeraglim. Let's just say they were complicated individuals, like man usually is, and they weren't just unidimensional, you know, simple figures. On the contrary, Kulam Anashim, Rashi B'nei Yisrael Hema. They obviously had stature, but nonetheless, going into the motivations of their sin is a drasha in itself. We're talking really about the pattern of their sin, the approach, the tactic that in fact caused the chait. He notes here as well two other points. One, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Yiru Yisharim V'Yismachu, that the Yashar sees and rejoices. What's the Yashar? The person who's straight and upright? That's the person who sees things clearly. His vision is not skewed by a particular agenda. He doesn't exaggerate. He doesn't lose a sense of balance or perspective. If a Yashar sees the Yismachu, he'll rejoice because God illuminates his eyes and he knows exactly what's in front of him. And to put the other bookend on this point, what's the end of the Sedra? Tzitzis? Urisa moso uzachartem. So how could it be you look and you remember? He says that's the point. A person who's gifted with re'iyah, real vision, and knows how to see before speaking, knows how to analyze and draw conclusions, that person can even look at strings and knots and threads and remind himself of God, of the mitzvos, of everything that's holy in life. That type of vision really broadens our perspective and gives us a richness in life. And it's that perspective, it's that vision that we pray will be able to secure our retention of the land and ensure only happiness and good things in years to come. Kaddish Rabbanan.